Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. We got cut off there for a second during the introduction, so we're starting over. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal, and there's so much to talk about. It's a very exciting time to be investigating and researching these fields. Tonight, we're actually going to be talking about the paranormal more than UFOs. Our guest tonight is Judy Ann Cannizzaro, and she is a healer, an intuitive, an astrologer, and medium. She's quite accomplished in this field and has been doing it for quite some time, so we're very, very honored and lucky to have her on the show tonight. Judy Ann, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
So this is interesting stuff. How did you ever get involved in these fields of, you know, which some people kind of are a little skeptical of in some ways, and some people are scared of it even, and I find it fascinating. And I'm just wondering, how were you skeptical growing up, or how did you get involved in all of this stuff?
Well, I was born with this, as they call the gift, and okay. I spent a good part of my life trying to figure out what it was. So I was scared, of course. And as for the mediumship, and it's only looking backwards now and talking to people. When I was a little girl, whenever I heard that someone died, I was running and hiding in my parents' bed, and I was always saying, they're coming to me, they're coming to me, because they were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty difficult, and these days, you know, with more people being open, and I always say thank you, Oprah, for doing that, being open to metaphysics and everything that is you hear today with the secret and all the positive thinking, it enables a child that is born with the gift to have someone to talk to. And I didn't. I came from an Italian Catholic background, and that wasn't supposed to be. You weren't supposed to have a child like this. So it was difficult, and I had a lot of experiences. I try to trace everything back. When did I first start with this? When did I start with that? So I had experiences when I was very, very young, and then when I was in my teens. And when I was in my teens, I was in Manhattan with a friend of mine, and we were crossing Madison Avenue, and all of a sudden I was clutching my chest, and I was like, oh, my God, Mary. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, someone in the public eye is going to be shot. And she said, are you a witch? And I said, I don't think so. And Martin Luther King was shot and killed 2 hours later. So
Wow. That
was scary. That was very
back
scary.
Back up for a second there. I mean, I've had a few premonitions myself, and it's weird. It's hard to describe. I mean, what is going on in your head when something like that happens? I mean, is it just a knowing feeling, or do you get actual visions, or you know what I mean?
There's four clairs. There's clairvoyance, which is the seeing, the all-seeing, the third eye. Then there's something called clairsentience, and a lot of people who are water signs or who have water rising in their chart, it's that feeling in the solar plexus, which is the pit of the stomach. It's that gut reaction. It's that sense of knowing. And when you know that, you just know. And then there's something called clairaudience, which is the hardest thing to keep. It comes and goes, but I've always had that. So I hear. So when I do a reading for someone, I hear my
oh, wow.
spirit guide, as you would say. Or some people say angels. It's
thank you.
Hi, this is Niles McClower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m.
BBSRadio.com, your source to a world of inspiring information. This is the BBSRadio.com. My name is Spider Turner, and it's happening at the BBS, baby. In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in The Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its present disastrous climax as the reader is shown that the way to restore America's true wealth has been with us all along. Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, to see how America's money and future can become by and for the people once again.
Do you have a group?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. We appear to be having some minor technical problems. We got cut off again. I'm sorry about that, but we're back, and we're ready to talk. My name again is Preston Dennett. I'm your host, and our guest tonight is Judy Ann Cannizzaro, and we're talking about mediumship, astrology, that sort of thing, psychic powers, intuitive healing, and all these wonderful, wonderful talents that people are just now beginning to wake up to. And Judy Ann, you were talking about the difference between clairsentience and clairaudience and the four different clairs when we got cut off.
Oh, yes. So we were talking about the clairvoyance, which is the seeing, the clairaudience, which is the hearing, and what I was going to say is that either comes in an audible voice or just a sense of knowing. Either way, it's still clairaudience. And the clairsentience is that knowing feeling in the solar plexus area. It's that gut reaction. It's usually people with a lot of water in their astrology charts will have that. And then there's something called clairgustience, which is a scent. And perhaps it's perfume of a loved one that's passed on or something, and it comes in from another world. So those are the four clairs.
Well, Judy Ann, can I interrupt you for a second? We have a caller who would like to ask a question. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello? Hi. What's your
name?
Hi. Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. I'm Stan Hughes' daughter. The one who does, Native American things.
Did you have a question for our guest?
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. I was wondering, how old was she when it was, finally, was she had it under control and stuff, her psychic powers? Mastered it.
How did she master it?
Master it. Okay. I studied. I actually met some people. I was going through kind of some challenges in my life, and I met someone, and she sent me to talk to this woman. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, she had Reverend before her name, and I had only heard that in an actual church setting. And I was like, who is this woman, and what is this? And I went to her house. Mm-hmm. And she called me late at night to come, but I went anyway. And she opened the door, and she said to me, my God, you are so psychic. You should be reading me. And I went, what? And so they were doing classes, and I started taking classes. And I always say they were developmental classes for these gifts. But they were also...
Did you have a mentor or...
I was just introduced to someone, and it just turned out that she was doing these classes, and it was part of a spiritualist church. And I just felt this was it. You know, I found my home. I couldn't wait to go to these classes every week, and I went for 5 years to develop, and I learned all about metaphysics and about me and who I was.
Well, I was just wondering how you learned those things and how old you were when you mastered it. That was my question.
We're always learning. That's the thing. It's a gift, and the ego should never play any part of it. So mastering, I think that's a lifetime, many lifetimes. And usually we find out we've done this in many lifetimes because if you're very comfortable with it, It's not something new. It's from prior lifetimes, if that helps. But you should never remember that it is a gift, number one. And you're not the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You're just allowed to have this beautiful gift for healing.
Right. Okay,
You're fortunate, Judy Ann, that you ran into someone like that, because a lot of people I've spoken with have a long, hard path to, you know, finding answers to what's happening to them.
Well, you know something, I have to tell you, Preston, I wasn't a little kid. I already had 3 children. I was about to go through a divorce, which would be very difficult. And I remember starting to take these classes, and I'll be very honest, I was panic-stricken. And we were sitting in what they called a meditation, but they were really seances. We were in the dark, and we couldn't move, and they had to leave a night light on for me when I first started. And then after a couple of weeks, it was like I was just home, and I was comfortable, and I was allowed to just thrive, really. And it got me through a difficult period in my life, and I remember finding all this inner strength. And I was, whereas fearful before, because I was living with something that I couldn't even understand, I now was not afraid anymore. And I knew I was protected, and I am.
Well, what was it that, you know, turned the tides for you?
It was starting to understand and to study and to find out that all this was really normal if you're born with this gift. And one of these days, the book that I want to write is not what all the other intuitives and mediums are writing. I want to write the book of what it is to walk around as sensitive as you have to be able to receive this information. I remember my oldest daughter said to me, "You are way too sensitive." And I said, "Jennifer, I could see the other side. Do you think I'm wired like you?" So it's a gift, but there's challenges connected with it.
Yeah, you know, that's something a lot of people have told me, and I think some people get driven to, you know, drugs and alcohol to cover it up. They're so sensitive.
And yes, I've heard
it's
that.
It's not an easy thing to live with.
It's difficult at times. It's a blessing and a challenge. But, you know, it's what I know. I don't know any other way.
Huh. Well, would you say, I mean, like, in regards to that, the caller's question, do you find that your sensitivity evolves or improves as time goes on? Or do you kind of, like, stay at a level that's consistent? Do you know what I mean?
No. The more you open. And the challenge now, see, when you go to these classes, you're developing the gift that you already have. It's almost like you're bringing it home. You're remembering what you came in with. But as you open, when you read all the time the way I do, now you have to find the way to protect yourself and to shut down. And that's the other challenge.
Well, are you able to just turn it off? You know, kind of like a light switch, or you know what I mean? or are you constantly being bombarded?
No, you are in control. This is what, when you first realize that you have this gift and you think it's a gift, when you get a gift, it's like all these thank yous, and you don't realize, and I was taught very early on that it is a gift. For instance, there was a while there that I could just see into the body, and I was not comfortable with that. And I was told, listen, you can ask for it to be held back. And I did. I said, I'm not too sure I want this. I said, to another medium. And she said to me,
shaking with my soul. You make my eyes close, close, close. Now falling, falling, it's over what you push me down. I can't even see the light you left for me. In the beginning, the sun went down and suddenly it's raining. Gotta keep fighting, I just don't like the way you leave me here. Stranded to the sand forever, I'm seeing you close to rule my world. I can't believe I'm with you, baby girl. One second of my life just takes away. You let me hear suffering down on my knees. Pulling, please, I can't stand up anymore. Wanna breathe in deeply and roar. But if I do lose the battle, win the war, and now it's over. Slowly, die to time, my eyes are cry from all the tears that I cried. Didn't know you leave me here to lie. Didn't know you wanna leave me high and dry. Now I stand here and I ask myself, why did you have to give up?
We're back. Welcome to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and I want to apologize, but we got accidentally cut off there. We have been having some minor technical problems today, but they should be completely solved. I apologize again, but we are back. You are listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guest is Judy Ann Cannizzaro, and we're talking about astrology, intuitive mediumship, healing, and these types of things. Our guest has been doing this for quite some time and has got a lot of information to share on this subject. Judy Ann, when we got cut off, I was asking you your opinion on whether you think that these types of abilities are something that anybody can develop, or does anybody have the ability to have these kinds of experiences?
I have been taught, and it's to my knowledge, we're all born psychic. We all have abilities, but like, we can all go and learn to play the piano, but how many of us will be on stage at Carnegie Hall? It just really depends. A lot. As an astrologer, I look for things in the charts, and that will show it. It just shows how you came in. And you'll see, like, water in the chart. You'll see different things like that, like Pisces, which I am Pisces rising, so that just makes me a sponge. I just pull everything in. And you'll see Scorpio. Scorpio has intuitive ability. Sometimes if you have a lot of Earth in your chart, which is Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn, your logic kind of pushes it away. So I believe that everyone gets something, because we've all have picked up the phone and known who is on the other end, or a lot of mothers, you've heard many stories, child is perhaps living on the opposite side of the country and they just know something's wrong, or they just jump up out of their sleep in the middle of the night and they'll find that something has happened. So many people have this. They don't want to address it as a psychic ability. They just say, well, you don't have this feeling. And they don't link it together. They can't. Because if you do, then it changes sometimes a lifetime of a thought process. For instance, scientists. I know many scientists, and they just can't figure it. They try to label it or to say, well, you're just very sensitive to people you're sitting next to. And I sometimes want to say, but there are people I've never seen. And they send me an email or they call me up from another side of the country or even out of the country. But it's something. It does change your life.
Right.
But if you had an intuitive thought and you acknowledged it, and you saw it through, and you saw it happen, and you acknowledge it once again as such, then you'll get more. It's like you're being opened. And the more you get, the more you open.
Huh. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's what happened to me. I grew up totally skeptical of all this. And then my mom died, and that opened me up. I started having experiences, and I started meditating, and boy, it just exploded into my life. And as you mention, I mean, it completely changes your life, your awareness and everything. Now, well, how did you go from, you know, having these experiences to, you know, realizing you could use this to help other people and, you know, making sort of a living at it?
Yes. I was studying, and it was up to me. I'd be in class forever. And I'm telling you, and there were a lot of people, like reverends that were there, older, and they had a fair one day. So when I went there with my teacher, and I was just sitting there reading all these other psychics, and they said, why aren't you here reading? I said, oh, no, I'm in class. Because I'm coming from that Catholic school mentality. So, you know, you get out of class when you get out of class, and they said, you should be doing these readings. So we had something, when we were studying, we would read one another. And we learned to channel. We each developed, and we were channeling, and we did healing. And you found out what the gifts were. But out of 28 people that were in that class, I'm the only one that does this.
Wow.
And so you go, and then you start to give information to people, and people come back and say, oh, you know what you told me last week? And I'd be saying, what did I tell you? I said, well, it happened. And I said, okay. And you start to give messages to people, and then they had like a service every Sunday, and it was messages. So you were up there in front of a crowd giving messages to people. And I remember I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to stand here in front of everyone. How am I going to do this? So I started to walk through the audience, and I would tell them, well, let me hold your hand. Let me see what I pick up. But what they didn't realize, I had already had the information because I'm precognitive. So sometimes I'd have the information before I even got there. But they thought by touching their hand, I got the information. They didn't realize I was doing it for me because I was nervous to be in front of a crowd.
Wow, isn't that
now crazy? I don't mind. Now I don't mind at all.
So the information that comes through is, you know, accurate then? To what degree would you say it's accurate?
Well, I never, you know, a lot of people, I look at different websites and, you know, they're up there and they're putting predictions and, you know, I don't do that because I feel it's a healing gift not to just show off what you know or what's going to happen, and a lot of things don't happen. But everyone has free will. So I try to keep my predictions out a couple of months because anything, pretty much, I wouldn't say anything. Some things are just preordained. But a lot of things you can change. You can change the nature of it. And so I would say people say I have, they call me up and they'll tell me, oh, this happened and that happened. And I'm like, wow, it did. You know, because you want to stay on that side of it anyway. You want to keep your innocence and you want to keep your ego off. It should, that switch should always be off if you're going to do this kind of work. And I would say sometimes 97. And sometimes, wow. Like I had a client that I kept seeing this man coming into her life. And she used to say, well, when is he coming? And I said, well, it's around you, it's around you. Well, she just got married. But we laughed at it because it took a couple of years. So time sometimes is the hardest thing to predict. Because I always say it's spirit time.
Right. I talked to a psychic, and she was really good. Her name was, let me see, what was her, D was her name. And she gave predictions, and which at the time sounded completely off. But she said, no, give it time, because I'm not able to guess when the time of these things is going to happen. And she was right, though. She said, I knew somebody named Judy. I didn't. Years later, I had a very good friend that I met, and now I'm very close to. Her name is Judy, and the psychic was right on so many things, but it took a while for them to come true. So I totally get what you're saying. You know what, Judy Ann? We have another caller.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? What's your name, and do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
I do. I have a couple questions. My name is Valerie. My first question is, you just stated that she came from a strict Catholic upbringing. And I wanted to know, it must have been really daunting growing up in that environment with the gift that you have. Did you ever get any kind of discouragement from the church or even your family? And if so, how did you handle that when you couldn't help these senses that you were blessed with? When people are telling you probably that it's wrong and things like that, how did you go about handling that?
Very easy. I never told anyone. I kept it to myself. I kept it to myself.
For how long?
Oh, my God, a very long time.
How did you feel about that now?
Well, this is why. If I were to write a book, I would like to help people who have a child that is born with this gift because children... Right now, I'm sure you've heard of the books, The Indigo Children, The Crystal Children. These children are coming in knowing. They are incredible. They're coming in just knowing. And a lot of them are very, very psychic. Very psychic. So now, with the world changing, more parents are able to take their child to see someone. Like, I was doing a reading for someone, and I was working for a company at the time. And I heard this child in the background. I was only 5 years old, this little boy. And I said, that's a very psychic child. She said, you think so? She said, because of all the psychics he could have chose, he chose you. I said, wow, I was amazed. Because they are these children, so they need some kind of guidance. I took my youngest child to metaphysical classes when she was 7. First of all, I didn't have a babysitter, and I was going through a divorce. And I brought her there, and she was amazing. She was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. She's kind of closed it off now, but there are certain things that are happening to her in her life, and I said, you know, you have this gift, and it's time to start using it. And I feel that will make changes for her in her life. So it's...
That brings me to my second question. I was wondering if I could get your advice on something. A dear friend of mine has a little girl, and spirits are attracted to her, like a moth to a flame. And I have actually been at her house, and this little girl has come running out of her room, crying, hysterical, because she's seen people walk past her and had people try to talk to her. But she described it as mumbling. And my friend and I, we do what we know how to do, you know, to try to make her feel better. We put some salt down and go in there with sage and things like that. But I would love to have some kind of words of advice that could maybe be comforting, some direction to guide her in, where she wouldn't feel so afraid. Is there any advice that you could give me to give my friend on that?
Well, basically, if you're going to do, all, like you were saying about the salt and things like that, if you're doing that in front of the child, that's going to scare the child even further. But I would find someone, I don't know what area you're in, like perhaps in a metaphysical store, just a true, like a metaphysical bookstore, and I would find if there's a healer there and someone to enlighten the mother, because if she's going to react a certain way, it's going to scare the child further. But you want to make sure that the child is protected also. So I suggest is I do a lot of violet flame. I surround myself with the violet flame, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful protection for me. But for the child, someone needs to talk to her to let her. You have to first find out who it is she's seeing and what are they doing, because I don't feel that there's anyone in there harming her. She's just frightened, like I was, and someone really has to talk to her and tell her that she's okay, and no one can hurt her. No one that she sees can ever hurt her. She's protected, and just if you want to talk to her that she has an angel that protects her, just let her feel like she's in control, because when you, fear of the unknown, so to feel like you have more control over it. How old is the child, did you say? How old?
She's 11.
11, okay. All right. So you could sit that child down and just say that these are, she has an angel that protects her, and anytime she sees something, perhaps if she's afraid, to just talk to her angel, and her angel will be there with her.
Okay. I will do that. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate your help.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Judy-Ann, like you said, a lot of children, it seems, especially these days, are having these experiences. And children are naturally more psychic anyway. It seems like, I've interviewed a lot of people who've seen ghosts. And a lot of people that I've talked to, they have their experiences as children. So, gosh, I mean, it must be really difficult for,
frightening.
Young children. Going through this.
It's frightening. Unless there's someone to calm them down and to let them know it's okay. See, when I brought my little one, she was 7, and she became very matter-of-fact. I'd hear her laughing in her room, and I'd say, you better get to sleep. And she said, no, that's... And she would name her spirit guide. She had a little Indian guide, and she would say, that's Red Rose, and she's playing around with my dress for tomorrow for school. And she's very matter-of-fact about it because I brought her, and she sat in on a couple of classes with other little children who had gifts, and it made it a lot easier. She was never afraid of it.
Wow. Well, that's definitely the way to do it, I think.
But most people, if I wouldn't have known about that had I not been there studying myself.
Back to the caller's question, Valerie, I think was her name, regarding being Catholic and having this religious upbringing. I always find it fascinating that, some people who are very religious look down upon these sorts of things, because if you look through Catholic history and the saints and all this, there's a lot of people who are, very well-known religious figures who have a lot of psychic experiences. I mean, Saint Teresa of Avila, she levitated.
Right. She did.
It goes on and on. So, I don't understand how religious people can say, oh, it's the devil, it's the devil.
I get that all the time. People say to me, but it's few and far between now. It's changing. The world is changing.
Good.
And people are searching for answers. And they're opening more.
It's definitely getting mainstream. I mean, what was that movie, The Sixth Sense? I think
really
woke up a lot of people.
That really did. I saw that, and I loved it. I had four elderly women in front of me, and they got up, and each one looked at the other one and went, what? And I was laughing because I was with a bunch of metaphysical people, and we went, wow. They went, what was that about? So we laughed the whole way home. But that's our world.
Yeah. Well, I think it is getting, like you say, more normal. I mean, it's still considered paranormal, I think. But in my mind, paranormal just means unexplained. It doesn't mean that it's impossible or can't happen or it's breaking the laws of the universe or anything. So, I don't know.
Well, there are things that have been around forever. I mean, there are people that will walk into a doctor's office and that's it. They said, you know, just go home, prepare your papers, get everything in order. There's nothing more. And all of a sudden they come back and there's no evidence, say, of a cancer. I mean, but this has been around. And a lot of doctors have seen this. They may not want to talk about it, but it has happened. And there have always been things like that. I have, like in the black community, in their churches, because I've done, like the casino over here always hires me, and I'm sitting there reading people for hours, and I have people that come up to me and they say, don't say you're a card reader, you're a prophet. And I, you know, Catholic girl goes, a prophet? I can't be a prophet. But that's what they're called in the Baptist church. So I'm learning, you know, say, okay. And so everybody has had an experience. And it's very funny. You'll find that members of your family or extended family who in front of everyone will not say, you know, they believe in this, they'll come on the side and they'll tell you an experience. Well, there was a spirit in my house, but don't tell anyone. But they'll come to me because they know it's okay. They know it's okay. I'll listen and I won't judge.
Right.
How can I? I couldn't.
Well, I think you're right. I think a lot of people are having these experiences and they just don't tell people. And I guess they, you know, they're confused and, like you say, a little bit frightened by it. Now, we all have spirit guides, though. Would you say that that's a fair assessment?
Well, the spiritualist way says you come in with the five guides, which is your child guide, your Indian, your Native American, your medical doctor, your philosopher, and your master teacher. And the one I work with is the philosopher. And I was given his name way back when I first started. And I do my readings with his assistants. And I like him because he's a direct hit. And I always say his motto is, if you didn't like my answer, you should have never asked the question, because I just go zoom right in. I'm not one that will give what I call a lot of psychic filler information about this, that, and the other thing that has nothing to do with your life. But all this, I see a color around you. I don't do that. That's not me. Unless I'm doing healing, and then I'm using the colors in that way. But I'll just go to the matter, and I basically, when they start talking, I say, wait a second, I'm reading you. You need to listen to what my guide is giving, the information. And you're paying me to read you. You shouldn't be giving me information. You should sit and receive the information. And then they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I think a lot of people will, you know, they'll read you, but you just sit there and give them information. They'll sit back, you know, like with any service out there. But so I have my little rules I have for myself, and that's probably that Catholic education that keeps me that. I like to say I have a lot of integrity with what I do. It's important to me.
Well, what do you do if you start getting information that is unpleasant for the listener, the person you're reading for, some, you know, bad news, so to speak?
I had an incident a couple weeks ago with a gentleman who was very suspicious about, he had spoken to a few of the psychics, and he said, I'm tired of this. I'm asking you one question. And I answered him, and he went, wow, okay, you're it. And he was asking basically his wife. He was suspecting his wife was being unfaithful. And all of a sudden I said, who's, and I named this name. He goes, oh, my God, that's the guy I was asking about. It's like, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And he said, no, 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 I wanted somebody to be honest. I said, yeah, but I feel bad because I have to give you that kind of information that's going to upset you. He said, no, I thank you for your honesty. But it's hard sometimes in a situation like that when you know you're going to literally break someone's heart. So that's, I find that hard. So I'm always very apologetic. People say that I'm very straightforward. And I went, well, wait a second, that would make me very harsh. I said, no, 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 they understand. And people will appreciate it at some point. Then you have people that will, they don't want to listen to anything anyone has to say. So they will go and get readings until they find someone who will tell them exactly what they want to hear.
Right.
And you just got to let go of that.
We have another caller in.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
I am. This is Jacqueline,
clear,
California.
Pretty clear.
Hello. And
hi.
My question is, I moved into a new home last August, and I've caught glimpses, or I believe that there's beings in the house, and I'm not sure if I brought them with me because there's been beings in my other homes, or if they're here from being in this home, and but I'm beginning to physically make themselves manifest. Like I had the bed bumped in the middle of the night.
Oh wow.
Couple days ago, and one time a couple weeks ago, you know how you sleep in spoons? I felt somebody sleeping behind me, and I live alone. So
thanks.
It was very gentle. I don't feel threatened or anything, but it's just like,
that's good.
Are you picking anything up, or should I just live in peace with them? Because I think we live in dimensions with each other. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. I do. That's definite. They're all around us. Some people just don't hear or see. You know, they're just, their mind is closed off, and they won't. But you're open, and you're okay with it. I don't feel like it's anyone harmful, but, you know, you can say, well, stop rocking my bed. You know, it's making me uncomfortable. It's okay to do that because I have the spirit that you have, one of the spirits, I'll just call it a benign spirit. It's a man. It's an older man that has been around that house. And I feel you did take someone with you. And I think that's the spooner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's someone that was very comfortable with you as you were. You were just living in harmony, and the spirit just decided to go with you.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's one other one in that house. I feel like three. I've been feeling a child before you even said about your bed moving. There's a child there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the kind of child I feel that plays some pranks. So if you start to see some things that are missing, for instance, and then all of a sudden you see that again, it's right there where you looked for 2 hours, that's the child. That's a little child. It looks like a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy.
I think this happened to me.
yes. And, yeah, I could see him right now. I feel his name is Timmy.
Oh.
And he's laughing and very happy.
Yeah.
And he's a cheerful little spirit. So.
All right.
So you have company.
Yeah.
Listen, the spirit has to like you an awful lot to move with you to start charging rent.
You should.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't feel
you're
like
welcome.
There's anything wrong with them or anything.
No.
But I just feel like I've caught somebody out of the corner of my eye too once, and a man, and then these other incidences are happening. So,
well, Timmy is doing
confirmation.
Something. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, good luck. Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
So, Judy Ann, for the most part, then, people don't have to worry about spirits? I mean, are ghosts dangerous at all?
You know, we all see the Hollywood. There's the Hollywood movies and you know, the horror movies. And I became a ghost hunter a couple of years ago. I joined a group down here. And they, for some reason, wanted to hang out in cemeteries at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, they're not even in the cemeteries. You know, they're all over. You know, they're in your homes. They're with you. So I didn't. But I went around anyway. And I had some experiences, though. And like with anything, there are some spirits that are more negative than positive. And with that, you need to put your, like I do, like I said, I do the violet flame, and I would use holy water. I would get, I haven't run into anything like that myself. But a lot of times we get so fearful that we cause physical harm to ourselves.
Right. Well, fear just attracts more of that kind of energy anyway.
Oh, it does. It does. And negativity, you know, you give love, love is what you get in return. So whatever you're putting out there is what you're going to end up receiving.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So what can people do to themselves to sort of open up more and become aware of, you know, what's actually going on around them that they can't see?
Well, basically, if you sit and you meditate, and it's, some people it's very hard to meditate. I can't always sit down and meditate. And I think, where would I be if I meditated on top of being so open? And I know it would be like a nonstop. But if you sit and you take like 10 minutes a day, for instance, you want to ask a question. So you go in with a question. You take 10 minutes, about the same time every day, and ask the question. You will get an answer. Sometimes it takes 2 days. Sometimes, if it's a yes, you just come out of the meditation with an incredible sense, so you know it's a yes answer. And it's funny because sometimes you get your answer in some strange ways. I've had it where, you know, you turn on the radio and there's a song. And the song, the words of the song is in answer to what you've asked. Or you open a book and you see a line in it and it gives you an answer. So you will always get the answer. And then you acknowledge it and you open and you ask your guides to come in. And if you have an experience where you get this feeling, then acknowledge it. And then you'll open more and more. I did a lot of work for a number of years to open. And But people will open as much as they need to and much as they can handle. You'll never get more than you can handle.
Huh. Now, whenever I do a show on healing, it's always very popular. I get a lot of emails on it and calls and stuff like that. Now, what exactly is, you know, psychic healing? Is that just energy coming through the hands? Or, I mean, how does it work? At least in your case, I mean.
Well, I had one of my teachers. He said, a healer is a healer is a healer. So I went and I studied Reiki. I got my mastery level, and I did all of that. And I still went back to healing through the chakras. I like to heal through the chakras. And in the state of Florida, you're not allowed to put your hands on anyone unless you're a nurse or you're a massage therapist. But I have a skincare license, so I said I kind of like eked by on that. You know, I went through the loophole when I got in. But you know what? It turned out after all of that, I didn't have to put my hands on. I could keep my hands just above the head, and they felt it. We're all electromagnetic energy. We're energy. And the energy is coming. I would say like the pipe. If you've ever seen the pipe furniture, you just look at that and you just see this energy coming out. You know, with the Kirlian photography, when they take a picture of a healer's hands, because I've had it done, you see the energy coming out. It's amazing. It almost looks like lightning coming out, and you feel it. And you can just take your hands, you kind of rub your hands together and work with the energy, and then put it on your wrist, for instance, or put it on, say if your arm is hurting, put your hand on there and just kind of like feel it and relax and release anything else that's going on in your mind, and that takes practice. And you'll feel it, like a healer's hands, here's another thing, are always hot. Whenever you touch my hands, if I've been holding a glass that has ice in it, obviously, you know, that's not, my hands are going to be cold. But my hands are always very hot. No matter where, if I put my hand on someone, they will remark. Even people who don't believe in any of this, they'll say, oh my God, your hands are like fire, or I feel electric shock. And that's really how you know yourself. Because this is the funny thing with a lot of healers. Like, I was going through someone, and the man I studied Reiki with, he said, well, are you doing Reiki? And I said, well, it's for everyone else. He goes, why would you think it's not for yourself? I said, because it's a gift. That was my mentality. And he said, no, you're supposed to Reiki yourself. And I did in a number of instances. But this is the thing. If a person is supposed to heal, then they will heal. There's a lot of other things that enter into it. It's not like what you see in a movie, again, where somebody is very, very ill and all of a sudden they get up and they walk out and they're fine. There's a lot of other factors, karma, what the soul chose. If the soul chose at some point to leave the earth, then that's it. That's the contract. So sometimes the healing is just where it relaxes someone and they're better able to handle an illness. And then you see, I remember in the 90s when Life magazine came back on the scenes, and there was the cover of Life. It showed the hands of a healer, and they had the surgical gloves on. They were holding a sprig of herbs, and he opened up, and it was Dr. Mehmet Oz, because I remember. And he was supposedly, they did a write-up and said he was the last resort doctor. When all the other doctors gave up on you, you were sent to him. And he had on his staff a biofeedback, person to biofeedback, a healer, and they went into surgery.
Wow.
With the patients. So the world is changing.
It's about time. Wow. That's fascinating. You know, I think that the healing field, the alternative healing field, is really going to see a lot of changes as we bring science to studying this stuff. Because, you know, I've done a lot of, astral travel and out-of-body stuff.
Yes.
And as a result of that, it would kind of raise my body's energies. And my father had this battery tester, which with two separate leads, and you can actually test the voltage in your hands. And so I went around
wow.
to everyone in my family, you know, and I was testing the voltage in their hands. And the needle would go up, you know, about a quarter of the way. And then I did it to myself, and I had like twice as much energy in my hands as anyone else in my family. And all they're like, oh, your hands are wet, you know, it's something doing that. So I dried them off. I did everything I could. But for some reason, you know, this energy is, in fact, you can measure it. So I'm totally convinced. And furthermore, I've had people do healings on me, and you can actually feel this energy pulsing through you.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's just, it's all amazing. I find it all amazing. I'm like the little kid in the candy store with all of this. You could never get jaded because there's so much more that opens up every day.
Wow. So where do you see the future of all this with you? I mean, where are you going to take this?
Well, my client base has really evolved over the years. I have an MIT biochemist as a client that's out in California that calls me. I call myself his intuitive HR person. He gives me names, and I tell him who to hire. And we have it's been wonderful. He's amazed with this, and he's a scientist. So that really tickles me because, you know, scientists are just so blocked when it comes to things like this. So that does show the world. I'm doing a lot of radio now, and I have someone who's going to do some more marketing with me. And I'm involved with a company. I've been their personal consultant for a couple of years, a corporation. And it's about to get fully funded. And I've been there for a couple of years with them, working with them. So I'm going to do even more work with them. So I'm also an aromatherapist. And I love the essential oils, and I use them with my healing. So I want to do more of my healing work. I need to read that book. Because you see how many people are out there, and they don't know what to do with things, especially with the children. So they need some, the parents need some help. And I'd like to do that, and more radio, and perhaps some TV at some point.
Well, I think now's the time. Like you say, people are really searching for answers. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, gosh, in today's times, it's so hectic. What do you
think
of the whole 2012 thing and all of that? You think are we going to see major changes in our lifetime?
This is my feeling. The world right now is pretty ugly. You have to admit. There's just so much that comes out. And every time you turn around, beyond the economy and the what's happened to the Earth, what we've done to Mother Earth, and you see that it's coming to a point where something has to change. It's a major, major change. I don't think we're leaving this earth, but I will tell you a lot of souls have a choice right now, and a lot of people are deciding to leave the earth. A lot of souls are choosing to leave right now. But those that are left behind, I feel like you see how it's all coming out about people like us, and it's, everyone knows someone these days, whether they believe it or not, they have friends that are either into it or doing some kind of work. So it's changing, and I think it's leading us up to a time where there has to be major change. We can't go. Where can we go with this? I mean, it's just getting to the point where, and I don't think we've even hit rock bottom yet.
God.
It's scary out there. And anyone bringing a child into this world right now, I have to admire them because it's hard. So something has to change, and I think 2012 is maybe the end of the world as we know it, not the world itself. Because love has to enter into it, and kindness. And you'll see now people are helping one another. So many people. I live in a development in Florida. There are 40 foreclosures in here.
Oh.
So people are either moving back with their parents or they're kind of like banding together. And also people are creating gardens so that they won't be hungry in case of anything. So you see the changes here. The changes here.
Right. People are trying to get off the grid and all that.
I mean, you need it. You when you're looking, even now you look and you see all these Hollywood stars and musicians and they're losing this house and giving up that house. And most people say, well, they probably have five or six, but they still have to do it. One of my clients, he's a prominent music producer, and he said the music industry is awful. Because you can go and download a song for 99 cents and put any song you want and make your own, you know, on your iPod. So it's pretty bad out there. Everything is changing. It got out of hand. People became so driven by money, they forgot love and compassion. And this is what they have to learn. And unfortunately, look what had to happen to us to bring us back to that.
All right. Well, that's why I think you're out there doing this important work, Julianne. You know, we need
people
like you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I try to keep myself moving forward, which is why I don't like to make predictions, because I think it's like a sideshow type of thing for me. You know, and I say it's a healing gift, and that's what I have to be doing with it. You always get the people that are like, well, if you're psychic, give me the numbers, the lottery numbers. And I always turn around and said, if I had those numbers, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation, because I'd be on a nice vacation.
True, yep.
It is. Nobody gets those numbers. Nobody gets those numbers. That's kind of silly. But, you know, until people learn, and, you know, I think people have to make jokes about this kind of work, too, because if you accept it, you have to alter something in your mind. You have to make some sort of changes once you accept that this is what it is.
Right.
And it's here,
well, you know,
and it's not going away.
You know what, Judy Ann, our time is pretty much up. I want to thank you, though, for coming on to the show. It's been a delight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, did you want to give out any website or any information where the listeners can contact
you? Yes, I have a beautiful website. It's called Lavender. It's Lavender, miracles, because we need more than one miracle, .com. And you can go on that site and you can read testimonials, you can book appointments, or you can call me at 561-317-7094 for an appointment.
Awesome. Okay, so the website is Lavender Miracles, all one word?
Yeah, lavendermiracles.com. And it's in my favorite color.
Very cool. Well, Judy Ann, thanks again. It was wonderful, and really, really happy that you agreed to come onto the show. A delight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and good luck with your show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been doing it for almost 3 years now, so it's pretty exciting.
Wow, wonderful.
All right, everyone, that is our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Judy Ann Cannizzaro. That's Cannizzaro, Judy Ann Cannizzaro. If you want to get a hold of her, you can reach her through her website, which is www.lavendermiracles.com. Is that right? Lavender Miracles?
That's it. Lavender Miracles. Always remember that S. More than one miracle.
Okay. Well, everyone, that's it. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful evening and a great week. Until then, bye now.